waters that sustain us are more than just liquid, H2O, but is rather God himself. If we go first to Isaiah chapter 12, we'll go to a few passages this evening. Isaiah chapter 12, it's a very short chapter. We'll read starting in verse 1, Isaiah 12, 1. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." And obviously focusing mostly on verse 3. "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Our God is become our salvation, and the living waters that he provides is what brings life in us. Not just a life to come, but life now." Before we look any further, let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening and we praise your name for all of your wonderful works to us. We thank you for every action that you have done and taken on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for each day that you give us. We thank you for the health and the strength. And Lord, we do thank you that you provided a way of salvation, that you have delivered, that we can come and joy in the water that you've provided. Father, we ask during this short sermon that our eyes would be drawn to you, that our hearts would be made to rejoice in what you have accomplished. And Father, we ask that your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here, coming with joy to draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I wanted to start with this passage because here we have a link between water, salvation, and joy, which is important. We not only see that water is used as a picture or depicts salvation in our life, but also that it should cause us to have joy. Therefore, with joy. It's stated as if it is a command. Therefore, because of this, you must rejoice. Be joyful as you draw the water out of the wells of salvation. That word wells means a deep well or a large body of water. It's an inexhaustible supply. Again, this is an important thing to notice, that water is sustaining, but you need a sufficient amount of it to do any good. And here, when we come to God for salvation, the well never runs dry. If we go now to the book of John, John chapter 4, we find the living water. John chapter 4. And this is the woman at the well. We'll begin reading in verse 10. It's hard to know where to start in some of these stories. The whole thing is good and we could just read through all of it. We'll begin in verse 10. John chapter 4, verse 10. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman then said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And we'll stop there. We have here a description of water as a picture of life being given by Jesus, God's Son. He is bringing to us water. Interestingly, he doesn't answer her question about how he can bring this water, what bucket he is using, because truly it is he himself that is the bucket and the water. He's all of it. He is the well of salvation. And coming to him is coming to these living waters, these waters of life. But I want us to think again what living water means. The phrase living water could be defined as moving waters, waters that are not still. We all know what happens if you have a puddle or a pond of still water. Quickly, it goes green. Quickly, it gets all smelly, and things grow on top of it and in it and swim around in it. It gets nasty, and it is not good for drinking. So a water that is moving water is fresh and clean, sweet to the taste, not disgusting and foul. This is living water. But Jesus is going beyond just the fact that it is a moving water. But instead, he gives us a hint that it is much, much more. And that he says, you would never thirst if you drank this water. I don't know about you, but every kind of water I've ever tried, you have a sip, and it might quench your thirst for a minute or two, but then you want some more. And in fact, talking about water, now I'm getting thirsty. You desire that water, and even the most flavorful water is still just water, and eventually you're going to need more. Here, Jesus describes this living water, this picture of life that he is going to give as a water that causes us to never thirst again. Thirst is a good thing. It tells us when we have need of more. But if you have enough life, if you have this sufficiency of life, as we'll see, that is springing up, that is continually renewing itself, then you have no need for thirst to tell you to get more water, because you have all that you ever need. Thirst will be done away with in heaven, because we will no longer be in need anymore. Now, I'm not saying we won't drink. There's a beautiful river there. I'm sure we're going to enjoy the waters that flow from the throne of God. But the picture is still there. Thirsting and hungering and desiring more life, that will be a thing of the past, because we will have an abundant supply. We have here this water of life, this living water. It comes into us, but then it so multiplies inside of us that it comes out. What a beautiful picture of the Christian life. We take in a few words from Christ, and we respond, I believe. And then our life changes. And out of our life flows all sorts, all manners of good works. Out of our life flows life towards God, not death. God puts into us something that multiplies and continues to provide that life. You may say, well, Pastor John, yeah, but you don't know my circumstances. Life is not so easy. Things aren't going the way I wanted. Yes, but God's life, the life that He has given you, that water of life, if it is inside of you, it will continue to spring up a well that is leading unto everlasting life. Do not despair. Do not be cast down. Jesus said, I shall give him, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. If you have a well of water that's springing up, you then become like a fountain and the water comes out. It is this that should typify Christians. Is God's life in you so abundant that it is flowing out and infecting other people? That's what we should be seeing. That's what we should have. Living water. This living water, this picture of life-giving water is not just contained here. If we go back to Jeremiah chapter 2, we find the people of Israel were condemned because they had rejected the living waters. Jeremiah chapter 2, and we'll read verse 13. God is condemning Judah, the people who were His people that He had loved and whom He had been careful with all of this time. And He is now chastising them. He is condemning them. And in verse 13, He says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Let me read that again. God says that His people had forsaken Him, the fountain of living water. This could be used as a proof text for Jesus being God. He claimed to be the living waters. And God claimed to be the fountain of living waters. He was claiming to be God. That's a side one. You can put that in your back pocket. Here's another time when Jesus claimed to be God. Okay. So in John chapter 4 and verse 14, He was claiming to be God when He said that He was that fountain of living waters. But notice here how evil the people of God had gone. They had rejected God, and they had hewn them out cisterns. Now, we don't use cisterns as much anymore. At least we don't use the word. Basically, big water tanks. They dug them out some big water tanks. Huge ones. But they were broken water tanks. Now, if anyone knows, water loves to find the crack and leak out. And so if you have a broken cistern, that means it would not hold much, if any, water, because all the water would flow out. The people of God had rejected Him and instead had made for themselves that which they could call God. And yet, it held no living waters. It held no still waters. It held nothing good in it at all. It was worthless. It was a compounding of their evil. We face this same issue. We have been offered Jesus, who is God, who proclaims Himself to be the fount of living waters, and we turn everyone our own direction to prepare for us our own way to get to heaven. We dig out a cistern here. We help someone else prop up their failing dam wall. Instead of saying, let us go back to God, the fountain, the one with all the living waters. God Himself is the living waters, the one who would have brought life, and instead the people chose for themselves that which brought death. If we had time, and we don't, we could look through Jeremiah and see how much they had rejected God over and over and over again, and his word that they continued to reject even as God's punishment fell upon them, and how they turned back to the land of their captivity and hoped in Egypt to find deliverance instead of God, who had once delivered them from Egypt. They left the fountains of living water and dug them out pits with holes in the bottom. If we turn now to John chapter 7, we find more about these living waters that are provided. John chapter 7, Jesus on the last day, the great day of the feast, stood, and this is in verse 37, I don't know if I said that, John 7, 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." We have the living waters, the rivers of living waters. You might think this is perhaps even greater than a well of springing up water, but whole rivers of waters flowing down. You get into the river's flow and it can wash you away. There's the river there in Wagga, and several times in the few years that I lived in Wagga, there were young kids who drowned and their bodies washed away because they were not prepared for the current of the river. They did not understand that you walk out to knee deep and it's fast enough to pull you, the feet right out from under you, and carry you downstream. And this vast volume of water pushes past quickly. Here we have rivers of living water, not one, not a little fountain, not something that you might think, oh, you can contain a well, you know, it doesn't have to be very wide. It goes down pretty deep, but, you know, the water is springing up out of it. Okay, it's a little bit of water. No, rivers of waters can push aside vehicles, houses, trees. There's a lot of power there, a lot of volume there. When we're talking about out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, we're talking about an immense amount of life that is being shared with others. That is, if you believe on Jesus, you will have more than enough for you and more than enough to supply your family, more than enough to supply a few people, but enough to wipe the town off the map and to rebuild it. It's a huge amount of living waters. We also have here an understanding from verse 39 that this is specifically by Jesus being pointed out that it is the Holy Ghost who would be given. That is God living in you. O Christian, do you have rivers of living water flowing out of you, sweeping away all of your neighbors, all of your family's resistance, pushing past their barriers, knocking them on their face before God? Or do you have a trickle that just sort of spits out once in a while? You know, the perfect condition spring that only shows up when conditions are just right. No, we should have rivers of living water flowing out of us. The Holy Spirit should be moving us and life should be abundant coming forth from us. Our hearts should be moved for others and they should receive this living water. I want to say when we give the gospel, here's a very good tact we can take. We can go up to someone and say, "Have you found the living water? Because here, this is at least the second occasion that Jesus is pointing to himself and saying, "Come to me, everyone who thirsts." It's a very good message. It's a picturesque message. Everyone can understand being in need of that which sustains life. And then saying, Jesus will provide not only enough life for today, but he can preserve your life through all eternity. Come to him. Not only that, but he will bring the Holy Ghost to you so that you have, as it were, a doubling down. Rivers of water, a vast abundance coming out and being a blessing, bringing life to everyone. If we turn now to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1, we have a description of the New Jerusalem, new heaven and a new earth. Verse 1, "And I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And if we jump down a few verses, and if I can find it here. Oh, I'm in chapter 21. That's why I can't find it. I'm like, this is not the verse I'm looking for. That sets the stage. We're in the new earth, and now comes the new Jerusalem. Revelation 22 and verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, it and on the other side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him." We'll stop there at this point. We have the river of God flowing from the throne of God. That is proceeding from God. It's coming directly from God himself. This river of crystal clear, running water. Something that most people have not seen much of. A pure river, clear as crystal. That's pretty clear. You know, we have some waters that are clear, and you're like, oh, yep, it's pretty good. You can see the bottom, you know, that's not too bad. But this is crystal clear. It is so clear, there's nothing in it. It is beautiful in its clarity. And it leads directly to the tree of life. It is waters of life that lead to the tree of life, indicating all kinds of growth. It is not just water that's flowing, but it's the water of life. This is what we need. We need in our life today is that living water. And one day we will stand in heaven and we will see it. The living water is flowing in the New Jerusalem, and we will see that tree of life. But till then, the Holy Spirit is with us. We have the source living inside of us. Does your life look like it has living waters? Because if it does not, come to Jesus. He will restore to you that joy of your salvation. And you can with joy dip down into the waters that God has provided, and in salvation, rejoice in all that he has done. And he will begin to live inside of you in such a way that your life is really his life. And it will impact many. That's the message for this evening. We have the flowing, the living water that is God himself.